Talk on KHI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We're your hosts for the next hour. I'm Paul Wearson.
And I'm Dennis Hart. We have a lot to get to on today's show, Paul, and we are going to start with a story that has shocked just about everyone in and around Ames. The killing of Iowa State University student and golf star Celia Barquin Arosemena, whose body was found in a pond at the Coldwater Golf Links on Monday. Joining us live by phone now is Ames Police Commander Jeff Huff. Jeff, thank you for being with us. What's the very latest on this story?
Well, as everyone knows, we've got one in custody who made an appearance yesterday at the Story County Courthouse and is being held on a $5 million bond. At this point in the investigation, our detectives are really following up on leads that have come in over the last 48 hours or so. Many of those leads really don't have anything to do with our case, so we have to spend some time to rule in or rule out some of those things that have come in. And then things that might be related to the case, we need to follow up on those as well.
Jeff, the suspect is Colin Daniel Richards. He is 22 years old. How did you catch him?
Really what it came down to was a little bit of luck and some good police work. As we were going through the woods north of the golf course, just doing a canvas, somebody came out of the woods who we grabbed, spoke to, brought him down to the PD and questioned him. And he was actually the one that gave us a clue that we might want to be looking for Colin with some statements that he had made about his urge to kill and rape women. And of course that led us to believe too, we probably need to talk to Colin. And about 2 o'clock that afternoon, we did locate him at the area where he had been staying in those woods as well, and brought him back in for questioning, and really had some injuries that were consistent with the assault. He had some scrapes on his face, a cut on his hand. He was actually trying to hide the cut on his hand from the officers that first encountered him. And during the course of many hours of investigation and a couple of search warrants, we eventually found some clothing that belonged to him that did have blood on it.
We understand that Mr. Richards has a criminal record, a somewhat extensive criminal record. Can you talk about that?
You know, we don't have a lot of information about all that. That wasn't a focus of our investigation up to this point. I'm sure we'll learn more as well, but I have seen other reports where it appears that he's got a little bit of a criminal history.
Jeff, you couldn't go anywhere in Ames yesterday, at least I couldn't, without everybody talking about this case. It has shocked the community.
Yeah.
It is highly unusual, to say the least. This is, we believe, a safe community. What words do you have? What words, cautionary words, perhaps, about as the result of this, what should people be thinking? What should people be doing?
Yeah, Ames is a safe community. It's a safe community today. Just like anywhere else, though, we do have some of these types of things that happen. So our best advice is to be aware of your surroundings, report suspicious activity and behavior to the police department, wherever that may be, your local police department. We always tell people to utilize the buddy system. So maybe it's not a good idea to go out running by yourself when you have headphones in and you really can't hear what's going on around you. You know, in other cases like that, where it's probably a good idea to travel in groups, just in general.
What's next for this case? When is he going to appear in court?
I know he has another court appearance coming up. I don't know the date of that. The initial appearance is really administrative. The next appearance will be a little bit different, I believe. But he'll have some court appearances coming up. We'll continue to follow up on anything that comes in. We've got evidence we've sent down to the lab for analysis, so we'll be looking for some of those results and continue to follow up on any leads that come in. And we still are asking for the public's help. If they saw or heard anything at that time, please let us know so we can rule those in or rule those out as a part of our investigation.
And one more question, Jeff. Yeah. Are other arrests possible in this case?
You know, right now we don't anticipate other charges, but that could change depending on what new information may come in. So it's an ongoing and still very active investigation.
Ames Police Commander Jeff Huff, thank you for joining us today with the latest on this story. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Paul, that's a terrible story, obviously, to start this broadcast with, but a needed story because it has shocked the community, needed in terms of our coverage. It has shocked this community.
Not only that, it's nationwide because there's been extensive coverage. I was watching CBS News last night and this morning, and that's a big story on the national news, too, especially in view of the fact that we've had two incidents like this in a relatively short
Molly
time.
Molly Tibbetts of the University of Iowa.
Yeah, and the people on the coast over at CBS think this is flyover country.
Yeah. Shocking, and we can't use that word often enough. ISU President Wendy Winterstein called Barkin Arozamena's death an act of senseless violence. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said the same thing. Iowa State football asking fans to wear yellow into the stadium on Saturday in her honor. She was the athlete of the year at Iowa State, the Big 12 champion golfer. ISU football players are going to wear CBA decals on their uniforms on Saturday in honor of her. A very sad event. And if you saw the golf coach, the Iowa State golf coach, talking about her last night on television, she was in tears, and it brought all of us to tears.
The AD director, Pollard, it was very difficult for him to get through the interview,
yes.
too. So you can tell that everybody valued her and that she was a vital part of the athletic program at Iowa State. And probably adding more interest is the fact that she came all the way from some small town in Spain to be at Iowa State.
Our hearts go out to her family, and we will get through this as a community in Ames. It's a terrible story. It just shows, I guess, that the world, we are not immune to the world's ills.
No, that's true.
It's 7 after the hour, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Local Talk Wednesday. I'm Dennis Hart along with Paul Wearson. It's 8 minutes after the hour, and you have a guest, Paul, a Local Talk first, a guest who's on the phone right now from, not here, but an airport in Texas.
Right. He's going to board a plane. That's why we have to get him on the air right away. His name is Micah Meyer. Micah, are you there?
I am. How y'all doing?
I know you've got to board a plane very soon, but Micah's a unique person. Tell us about your great adventure, Micah, first of all.
Well, for the past 2.5 years, say for basically today, I've been living in a van and driving around the United States as I attempt to become the youngest person to visit all 417 of our U.S. National Park Service sites.
Wow. How far are you coming on that project?
Well, fortunately, after a summer in Alaska, I drove across Canada, and that is what brings me to the Midwest. I am 357 sites done, which means I have 60 parks to go and about 8 more months on the road before this 3-year nonstop project reaches its finale.
Well, that probably will put you in the Guinness Book of World Records or something like that. But you have a unique
talent. They are on my contact list, yeah.
Well, of course, now, actually, Micah is going to be giving a concert up in Story City this Sunday at 7 p.m. at St. Petri Lutheran Church in Story City. And Micah, tell us a little about your vocal credentials. You have an unusual voice. And tell us about some of your experiences and where you've sung and who you've worked with.
That's a very kind way of putting it. I have I've heard less fanciful descriptions. Yes, I am a countertenor, which is essentially a male alto or male soprano. So I often have to explain my voice type a little bit because people's shocked reactions when they hear me sing based off what they see is not what they expect.
Yeah, you're very athletic and everything, and suddenly this high voice emerges, right?
Yeah, you know, it's more akin to what you would expect to hear from a female. In fact, usually after my concerts, one or two sopranos comes up to me and complains and says, "You sang higher than I can," and they are a little frustrated.
Well, but, I'll tell you what, this is really unique because the folks who come to the concert on Sunday will hear a very unique voice, and you've sung with the National Cathedral Choir, I believe, right?
I did, yeah. So I spent a good portion of my 20s with their professional choir. So if you were watching the John McCain funeral a few weeks ago, sort of all my old colleagues and friends were the people you saw sitting right behind Barack Obama and right behind George Bush and up there on the stage behind the altar the whole time.
So you're singing at a very high level. And now you've got your own tour, and you're going to be all over the country eventually. And you're living in a van. Now tell me about that. Is that pretty hard? A pretty hard go, or what?
It is so hard. I kind of, like most millennials, looked at it on social media, and people put their best foot forward, and so you see, you know, waking up on the beach or with a mountain view, and that's sort of what I thought it would be, and it's been completely the opposite. It's more like waking up to a Walmart parking attendant telling you that all the RVs have to leave at 6 a.m. Yeah.
Life on the road. Well, you know, this probably...
Life on the road.
Yeah, well, you could write a book, you know, Micah.
That's in the wheelhouse.
But I also hear that when you're giving a concert out there and making these appearances on tour, you're also carrying a message, right?
I am, yeah. You know, what's been so amazing and heartwarming about this project is that when I started it, I knew I would have to fundraise from the road to supplement my savings to pull this off. And the journey started because my dad, who was a Lutheran minister at the University of Nebraska for the bulk of his career, he passed away from cancer before he got to retire. And so he never got to do the road trips he loved. And I wanted to do something not only to honor him, but to share this message with the world that they should appreciate time and people while they have them, because none of us knows which day will be our last.
Very good. You
and
know, go ahead.
Yeah.
I think that's a high calling. And, you know, when we lose our parents, no matter what age they are or what age we are, we are orphans, aren't we? I mean, we value mm-hmm. them. And if we can do something to honor them, especially something that has great credibility in terms of what their interest was. You're saying he loved to travel and take road trips, and now you're doing mm-hmm. what he can't do. That's kind of great. I like that, Mike. And now what time does your plane leave down there in Texas?
We depart at 8, although they're still checking people in, so I think we're okay.
Okay. Well, now, yeah. We want to remind everybody that the concert is coming up, and it'll be at St. Petrie Lutheran Church this Sunday, the 23rd, at 7 p.m., and Micah will be there with his unique performance and message, and we encourage everybody to show up.
Micah, can you give us a preview of what you're going to be doing and what your performance will sound like and look like?
I would, but I'm pretty sure I might scare the other flight passengers here. And I don't think when you're in an airport, I don't think you want to do anything to draw attention to yourself.
Well, I wasn't suggesting that you sing. I was just suggesting that you tell us what your program, describe your program.
You know, I
bet. Oh. See, welcome to the life of the singer. You're like in line at Walmart. So like, can you sing for me right now? So I just jumped to that assumption. What's going to be really fun about this is if you are familiar with the countertenor voice, if it's something that you are a fan of, you know, I'm going to sing But Who May Abide from Handel's Messiah, which is perhaps one of the most recognized, well-known countertenor songs in existence. But then after that, I'm going to sing music that you have never heard a countertenor sing before. So if you're a big classical music fan, this is going to be a real treat, because I'll be doing African-American spirituals, which was my thesis in undergraduate with my voice degree. I'll be doing some musical theater pieces that you've never heard a countertenor do before, and I will be singing a C6, which is 2 octaves above middle C, which most people tell me they've never heard a countertenor sing that high. So even if you're a seasoned countertenor listener, I guarantee this will be something you've never heard before, whether you've heard 1,000 countertenors or none.
Well, Micah, you can make sounds that I'll never make. I think I could only hit those notes if someone hit me with a cattle prod or something.
Well, so, in Iowa, I'm sure we could find one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, Micah Meyer, he's going to be giving concert at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Story City, Iowa, 804 Grand on 7 o'clock this coming Sunday, the 23rd. Micah, fly safe and check with the pilot to see if he looks over 16 years of age.
Okay, I'll cross my fingers.
Thanks very much, Micah.
Micah Meyer. Wow, that's going to be an interesting concert. Fly safely, Micah. Yeah. Paul, and you're going to be there Sunday.
Yes, I am, and I'll report. I'll report.
Wow, that sounds like a very interesting thing. Micah Meyer from an airport. That's a first for Local Talk, I think.
Oh, I think so.
An airport. We've had a lot of firsts today, and this is not a first. She is a regular, and we are so pleased to have you back, Leanne Harder, who is very flexible today because we've had to make a number of programmatic changes due to plane flights and other live availabilities. Leanne, the County Outreach Special Projects Manager for Story County, welcome.
Good morning.
How are you today? Let's get you a microphone. In fact, let's share a microphone.
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds
you have
good.
A lot of things going on. Talk to us about all of them.
Okay. I'm going to start out something pretty important for those of you that travel south out of Ames along University Avenue. It has been closed for a little bit when you get right past the Research Park and one of the new roundabouts down there. That's because Story County has been grading and paving 530th or University Avenue, whichever you want to call it, from 260th Street, just up to the Ames city limits. That road should be open later this week or early next week. Let's just go with early next week.
Okay.
But as always, all of our current road closures you can see on a website that I'll give you right now. It's kind of a lengthy one, but there is a link on the county's website, too, under the county engineer. It's www.ICEASB.org/road/county/story. So go there and you can see what roads are closed. We're also working on some apps and stuff to get some information out there. And just know University Avenue, when you go south out of town, will be open and good to go and a better road than it was as just gravel. Then, totally switching gears, Story County Animal Shelter that is located right outside the city limits of Nevada as you go into town on Lincoln Highway will be closed all day tomorrow, Thursday, September 20th. They're doing that because they are doing major renovations of that building. Story County acquired that building a couple of years ago, and so we now have the entire building, and that will be the entire animal shelter for Story County. The plans are amazing what they're going to do with this building. Regular business hours will resume on Friday, and those are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. They'll still be able to take calls, so if you do have an emergency, call 382-6566. Mm-hmm. And someone from animal control will be dispatched out to you. And they do thank you for your understanding. Again, it's a necessary evil, but the outcome is going to be much improved. And then the Mental Health Expo 2018 is coming up. It's called An Evening of Hope and Healing. It's Tuesday, September 25th from 6 to 8:30. It's held at the Iowa State Union Memorial Union Great Hall. It does feature keynote speaker Joan Becker. And after experiencing family tragedy, Joan transformed her life to become author of the book Sentenced to Life. And she now does public speaking engagements and is an amazing advocate for individuals with mental illness. Her focus is to open the doors for individuals and families in Iowa to promote change in our mental health system. There will be door prizes, refreshments, a wonderful local resource fair. So if you have a family member or friend struggling, there are opportunities to understand what is out there to provide assistance and to go forth. So, again, Tuesday, September 25th, so next week. The Supermarket of Veterans Benefits for Story County is coming up. I'll talk about this next month again, but we really need to get the message out now. That's held a different day and different location than in past years. It's still a no-charge event for veterans in Story County. It's an opportunity to come get a haircut, get coffee, donuts, and just talk to the wide range of resources available for vets that, gave their time and so much for our nation. It's located at the Plex this year, which is at 5501 George Washington Carver Avenue. So it's north of Ames as you go out on GW Carver. It's actually going to be held November 13th. It's always been right around Veterans Day, so it's still there, but a couple of days later this year. So new place, new time, but still the best opportunity you have to get out there and learn either you or your spouse what's opportunities available for veterans. You can call Brett or Aaron at 956-2626 or 956-2625 with any questions. And then again, I've been saying this for a couple months, and this is the last time you'll hear me say this for a while.
Okay.
If you are interested in helping Story County further their policies, regulations, whatever you may be interested in Story County, we have a job for you. There are many openings on Story County's boards and commissions. Deadline to apply is coming up in a couple weeks on Friday, October 5th at 5 p.m. The application form is located online, and you can reach out to me. I can get you one. Asset has one opening. Board of Adjustment has one opening. The Board of Health has two openings. The Condemnation Commission has up to 30 openings. I don't think they meet that often. Conservation has one opening. Planning and Zoning Commission is looking for two individuals, and the Veterans Affairs Commission has two openings. There's information about each of these boards and commissions on our website. I'll give you that at the end when I'm done. And then keep the October 5th date in mind as the deadline for applications. Then Story County Conservation has so many upcoming programs. I'm going to just give you a quick snapshot of a few of them. They now do reservations online using the mycountyparks.com website. So you just go to mycountyparks.com/county/story. They list out all the opportunities to get involved and to register online. But just really some exciting ones coming up is the Happy Hour Harvest at Doolittle Prairie. And it's coming up this next Saturday, September 22nd. It's an opportunity for you to go out and really learn how to harvest and collect prairie seed at Doolittle Prairie. It really is a hidden gem up by Story City. You learn information about the plants around you as you work. You can, gather some opportunities afterwards to socialize. And then there's another seed harvest that will take place the 27th of September and October 4th. They do ask that you register, and as always, wear long pants and sturdy shoes because you will be outside in the elements. And you know what that brings in Iowa in September and October and all those months. And then OWLS, the Story County Conservation Project update, is scheduled for Tuesday, October 2nd. The Fall Festival, and I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to go there, but it is such a fun time, spring and fall, every year. It's held at McFarland Park. It's Sunday, October 2nd, and it's an opportunity to maybe enjoy the cooler weather and hope for some good non-rainy weather on a late afternoon at McFarland Park. It's a beautiful time of the year to be up there. Bring a blanket and chairs to sit on, enjoying music, food, you name it. Mucky Duck Pub will be there offering food vending, or you can bring your own picnic dinner. It will be held rain or shine because music will be moved inside. So, again, that's up at McFarland Park on Sunday, October 7th. Conservation Conversations and Practices, not hard for me to say, not easy to say. Earth Paints and Explore Your Outdoors Camouflage and Stories and S'mores are just some of the titles of the other upcoming programs that Story County Conservation has to offer. So, again, go to mycountyparks.com/county/story. to register, or you can go to the county's website, which is www.storycountyiowa.gov, for more information about conservation and all the county activities happening around you.
You are just loaded with activities today.
There's
That's
a lot.
That's fantastic. This applying for a county commission, I just want to clarify, some people might say, wow, that's a big process. It's not as difficult as trying to get a Supreme Court nominee confirmed, is it?
No, it is not. There is a one-page application form that just asks you to list out basic information as to where you live, because some of these do have residency requirements, and then which commission you're interested in. There's a simple process that county individuals will meet with you. You'll meet with some members of the Board of Supervisors because these are appointees by the Board of Supervisors.
Well, I can't let Leanne get out of here without explaining what the Condemnation Commission is.
I knew you were going to ask that.
It sounds so ominous.
It sounds like it could apply to us.
Okay, so my understanding is, and this is my very rough understanding of reading the explanation online, because that's how often they meet. It's made up of real estate agents, appraisers, members of the public, property owners in Story County. I'm missing one more group. The bankers and insurance agents. It's what it says. It's a commission when property is set to be condemned that there's a hearing that's set up. And it does not – I don't really remember them meeting.
I just had this horrible picture of someone – tied to a tree in McFarland Park. People throwing darts, Or maybe someone in the stocks.
It's not that scary and nefarious. It's just more of a, unnecessary evil.
These are commission openings where people here in the county have an opportunity to make a significant
service. Make a difference.
And step up and say, hey, these things have to be done. These commissions have to function. And why not me?
Yeah.
Why can't I do that?
Leanne, thank you so much for sharing this today. We always value your being here, and we'll look forward to having you back next month.
Okay, sounds good.
Leanne
Harder
from Story County, and we'll be back after this short interlude. 27 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Local Talk Wednesday. Welcome. We are happy to have you with us. Been a busy day so far, and it's not slowing down. We have much more to give you. I'm Dennis Hart, along with my buddy Paul Wearson. Coming up, Maggie Westbold with one of her points to ponder.
But first, if you were with us last Wednesday, you heard Maggie talk about her emotional reaction to funerals. Now, that got our Susan Franson thinking about the emotion some people feel when they lose a pet. So she went out and talked first with Maggie's cousin, Mike Foley of Nevada, who recently lost two beloved dogs. And then she got in touch with Stu Hitterfield, who knows all about something called Haw's Paws for Pets.
I've had a dog most of my life, almost my entire adult life. And you told me you wanted to talk about death of dogs as pets. We've lost two dogs in the last 2 years. First one was Clancy. He was a golden retriever, just a big, lovable critter. And Eddie was known as a dachshund mix, though he looked like a miniature golden retriever. And as I started to date my wife, Rita, we had both gotten dogs probably within a few months of each other. So Clancy was probably 6 months older than Eddie. And they became best buds. I mean, they're inseparable, especially as pups. They were inseparable. And when we married, not only did we put two households together, we brought two dogs into the mix too. Rita had three kids. It was my first marriage. So it was quite a change for me. I became a husband and a father of three boys, two dogs, and two beautiful twin granddaughters all within a year. So Clancy, we lost, I think it was the day after St. Patrick's Day a year and a half ago. And Eddie, we lost July 4th weekend.
How did they die?
We had to put him down. Clancy had hip dysplasia since birth. At the end, he got to the point that his back legs were going. He couldn't hear. He wasn't eating much, just having difficulties. We thought several times within the six-month period before that this is it, and then he'd rally back. But the last time, and the hardest thing owning a pet is you having to decide when it's time. We'd wake up in the morning hoping we would find him having crossed the Rainbow Bridge, but he hadn't. But at the end, it just got to that point. We had great moral support and medical support from the Ames Pet Hospital out in the West End, and the vets and the personnel out there were outstanding. A couple times we took it in after these old dog disease spells, and the vet would look and go, no, he's still got life in him. But when we called the last time and I said, this could be it, we walked in and the vet would, and he looked at us and he said, you're right, it is time. So with that, we had to make, you know, we guessed Rita and I had already come to the conclusion that if we took him, he wouldn't be coming home with us. Being the most recent, that's been the most difficult, of course. Clancy, on the other hand, and again, Ames Pet Hospital, came to our house. And the vet who's no longer there and a tech came together, and they let us say our goodbyes to him. Gave him his last shot right there on the floor with us standing around. Rito's holding Eddie, kind of looking at him like, where's my buddy? But then we ended up with Dr. Anthony Haben. He was a great counsel for us because, again, he looked and goes, no, Eddie's got some time left. Don't be in a hurry. And then when the time did come, Doc says, yes, you know, he knew how hard it was. I remember Rita in tears looked at him and asked him, if this was the toughest job of being a vet, and he said no doubt about it, to have to put a dog, when it comes time to put that animal down, and if you're having the vet do it, that vet goes through that loss with you. You know, there's no way that vet can take a life, even if it's a good reason to do so, without being pained and seeing the pain on the patients who bring their animals in. So
I just want to sit with you for a bit and get to know you and the pet and get some history, and then we'll get your phone number if you want to share it with us, and then we will call you after the euthanization in 2 days to see how you're getting along, and we'll continue to call you every other week until you are ready to let go. And if we notice that you're not letting go, we'll gently suggest that you get some help with that from an actual therapist. so that you can deal with it. I'm not afraid of grief. I'm not afraid of helping people and supporting them. And I haven't done that. I'd be happy to. Anyone can call me for any reason. Talk about the choice. An excellent example is my hunting dog Gracie developed proprioceptive deficit, which is the inability to sense the hind legs. And for months, literally over 4 months, I would walk her with a towel because she couldn't walk, and she'd go do her business on the lawn and clean it up. And one day, a client of mine came up, and Gracie was on the porch in the spring, and said, "How come Gracie didn't get up?" And I said, "Well, she can't. She has proprioceptive deficit. Are you going to put her down?" And I said, "Well, no, she's happy." Well, that raised a question, so I called the vet, Dr. Tammy at Companion Animal, who's a wonderful vet, and she agreed that the dog has dignity, and not being able to run a hunting dog like that, plus her age, it would be beneficial to let her go, because I was keeping her for me and not necessarily for her, and that's part of the paradigm of releasing an animal and letting them go.
I've heard that in Florida, this is where I first heard of this as a fact, that the vets go to extreme lengths to keep animals alive because they have found that people often die shortly after their pets die. So they keep the pets alive for the people. So there are more choices for keeping pets alive than there were, for example, when I remember our dog had kidney failure. And the vet said, well, you know, if she were a person, we'd have dialysis. Well, now they have dialysis, but they didn't have dialysis for pets 30 years ago. Knowing that they keep pets alive not for the benefit of the pets sometimes, but for the benefits of the owners, are there any ways for people to deal with that? I should think that if people realized that their pets were really suffering, that they wouldn't want to keep them alive.
Well, I think that's a very interesting subject, and I think it's, again, my position is to be there when the decision is made to do that. As far as counseling, I'm not a therapist, but common sense and life experience tells me that if the animal is suffering, it might be beneficial to let the animal go. It also depends on the age and your ability to fund it. This is, of course, a cat or a dog, and funding $3,000 for a human being might be one thing, and $3,000 for an animal, an example for dialysis, that's your personal decision. I wouldn't argue with Florida if they're trying to keep pets alive because for the benefit of a human, I just think there's got to be a gray area there. I would err on the side of letting the animal go. This is an excellent point because I've had this conversation with Dr. West at Iowa State, who directs the hospital there, and counseling the people after the death is very important. And that way, it doesn't have to be the end of the world, but there has to be somebody there to hold their hand and put an arm around them emotionally, and that's what we want to do.
Your service is at no cost, is that correct?
Correct.
And how do people who want to support you become part of that we?
Just call me, 515-450-1483, and they can become part of it. Or, if they need some help and they're going to have a pet euthanized, they can get in touch with us. And
would you repeat that number? I imagine people would like to write it down. We'll put it on our website.
515-450-1483.
And I believe that when you answer the phone, would you tell me again, how do you answer the phone?
Well, I have a bed and breakfast, so it'll be Greenbelt Bed and Breakfast, Hospice of Central Iowa.
Oh, yeah, but they will hear Hospice of Central Iowa.
Absolutely, yes, I do that, yes. Eventually, we'll have a separate line for Hospice, but that's just down the road. We really don't need the permission of a vet. We're no different than you bringing your best friend into the euthanization. We're waiting for Iowa State to approve our paperwork, our cards and stuff with their legal department, so we don't have any established relationship with Iowa State. But if somebody's going to have a pet put down at the small animal hospital, we don't need to be endorsed. We're just your friend. And we go in, you're not paying us, and we're there to help you. So it's a fairly simple process. It's really, when it comes right down to it, we're family and friends. And the big thing is we get to know you and the pet. And if for some reason you don't want to go in and you want us to go in and witness the euthanization, then bring you in afterwards to say goodbye, we'll do that too. Almost all the time, the pet just goes to sleep. And, of course, the pet, after euthanization, can be buried, or normally they will be cremated, and there's services that do that. But we really don't get into that choice unless we're asked, and I have no preference on that. I did bring, from personal experience, I brought my cat Misty home and buried it, and that made it very painful for me. I would suggest generally that you allow the veterinarian to take care of that. But everyone's different, and everybody has their own feelings on it.
Well, we've been talking with Stu Hinterfelt, the originator of Hospaws.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
Well, thank you, Susan. That's an interesting segment and something I'd never heard about before.
Indeed so. Hospaws, hospice for pets.
That's cute, you know.
Yeah, it is.
If your pet has to go, it may as well be a cute place to be.
Yeah.
You know? Well, now, hey, this is a segment we always enjoy every Wednesday. Maggie Westfold's here, always to enlighten us. And I think that if you are, let's say you have a mature age and you've been in a long-term relationship and married a decade or two, what Maggie has to say today might resonate with you, right, Maggie?
This one's for you.
Thank you, Dennis and Paul. And hello again, K2I listeners. It's nice to be here to share another Points to Ponder. Today I'm going to share some feelings that for me cover 51 years' time on the topic of marital bliss. At this point in life, I'm going to call this conversation mature marital bliss. This topic came to me fairly late in my weekly timeline. I had something else in mind. And then I read the Sunday paper, and Fern Kupfer's column in the Ames Trib caught my attention. By the time I'd finished reading her insightful, amusing, wise, and flat-out funny at times words regarding her and husband Joe's marital divide, those are her words, I felt I might enjoy sharing with you all about my own take on marriage and the division of daily tasks. So thank you, Fern Kupfer, for inspiring today's Points to Ponder. Keep in mind, listeners, as I share today, that I married a good-looking blue-eyed redhead, and I'm a fairly independent brunette, thanks to growing up behind a big brother 4 years my senior, whose passion in life was trying to tell me what to do. Big brother gets the credit for my independent streak, and not that that trait has made my married life any easier. I asked my husband, Steve, how he felt about my talking about us on the air. I call that playing fair, and that's also known as maintaining mature marital bliss. And he smiled after his requested edits were made. I'm kidding, of course. He didn't ask me to change a thing. We met in late October and married the following late July. Much too quickly is what I always told our kids. I did not recommend they follow our example in that short courtship or in marrying fairly young at 21 and 23. It can be hard work growing up together while really getting to know one another and at the same time trying to grow in the same direction. Very hard work at times. Knowing one another a bit better before starting married life together might have been advisable. We'd both been raised by parents who loved and respected one another, and we knew how highly they all regarded the institution of marriage. My mom always said it this way, "Don't let the sun go down on anger." Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, that in our early years of marriage, that independent streak of mine came face to face with his very full red head of hair more than just a few times. The sun not only set on this fuming female's anger, marital bliss was so far out of my realm of possibilities in those moments, I might have had thoughts not healthy for one particular redhead, still circling the battlefield the next morning. For Steve, he's always said that when we met, it was love at first sight. What I knew, pretty much right away, was that I surely did love being adored. What crazy young woman wouldn't become addicted to that fairly easily? And yes, I soon knew that I loved this guy. I've never known who did indeed hang the moon, but I do know he would have tried if I asked, back then or yet today. A recent conversation I read and enjoyed and related to on Facebook also touched on mature marital bliss. A Texas wife of 50 years was sharing comments with a classmate about challenging moments in their respective marriages. They were remembering times their hammer-handy husbands weren't appreciating their wives' supervisory comments. One referred to her own way of looking at things as, "just eyeball it," which likely got on the one last nerve of her handyman hubby's preference for perfectly square corners. The other talked about the time she turned and walked away from her husband, his face some shade of red, reminding herself all the way back to the house that the guy had a nail gun in his hand for crying out loud. Funny now, likely not so much in that moment. Yet another woman in that Facebook conversation tossed in her tale of her hubby saying something about some line needing to be plumb. "What's fruit got to do with this job?" she asked him. One of our very, very early disagreements was quite short-lived, and I'm not proud of how I handled that, but I did have a point. Our apartment was tiny, so tiny that as I stood at the stove in our kitchen, big as a closet, Steve could lay on the living room couch and talk with me while watching TV. I chattered away about this or that, only to realize he was hearing none of it, paying absolutely no attention. I asked him a question about what I was cooking. No answer. Now, folks, I was cooking for us. I don't love cooking. I wanted a little of his attention, I guess. I picked up an empty fry pan, swung it half circle with a kabam right against the end of the lower cupboard. He heard that. As his now unrelaxed body rose off that couch 6 inches straight up, he said in his defense that he was just so used to tuning out his mom, it was just a bad habit. That's likely the one and only time I ever said, "I am not your mother." I loved his mother, but I did not love being ignored like a mother is ignored. And then there were those many vehicle breakdowns. Ours or our kids' cars would die here or there. Typically, this occurred in sub-zero weather. Steve is very handy mechanically, so he always tried to deal with our vehicle issues to save money. Lucky me, I got to sit behind the steering wheel of the dead car while being towed home with lug chains behind a truck. The car was put in neutral, and the ride across Ames involved not stepping on the brake or stepping on the brake. The trick was when to step on the brake. It's one of those jobs no one could write an instruction for. There are no understandable words to tell someone how to do that right. And all the words he used up in trying to nicely explain it to me each time were wasted. Listeners, lest you all think that the brunette, now sprinkled with quite a bit of salt, and the redhead with a tiny bit of whitish hair finally showing up and it was about time, lest you fear we've spent all our days in strife, worry not. We have been blessed, and we are blessed, though it was never fun while we were in the middle of those various muddles, all stressed out. We were always able to put those memories where they belonged and move on. Togetherness is always an option. It just isn't always fun. But it pays off for a couple when they can both stay on the same page. And at some point, you start to realize you just might make it. You come to appreciate one another in new ways along the way. You mature, you grow. You feel gratitude for the gift of a marriage that can weather storms. You not only survive together, you feel renewed. And that, folks, is mature marital bliss. And it is truly a gift.
What a love song to her husband. Wow, very nice, man.
Thank you.
Yes, if Steve is listening at home, I know that tears are welling up in his eyes. And
I'll ask.
Yes, well, he might even not be functioning for the rest of the day.
Your point about marriage not always being fun, you're absolutely right. But you know what? Life is not always fun. That doesn't make it not worth living. It is wonderful to be alive. It is wonderful to be married. I was so fortunate. I met my lovely wife, Sharon, on Valentine's Day in 1974. She was a news story. I was a young TV reporter. Mm-hmm. And she was so cute and so smart, both very important. And somehow she has stayed with me all these years. And I'm not always the easiest guy to live with. Believe it or not, guys, on the air, you know, I'm just a fun guy. But
I'm
in real life.
I can't imagine that.
No. But nobody is, right? And marriages have ups and downs.
Right.
But here you are. You've been married how many years now?
51.
51 years.
Yeah. Those numbers really do start. How many years have you been married?
This is our 43rd. Well, we're in our 44th year now.
Yes. And those numbers start hitting you, and it's hard to soak it in because I don't feel old enough to be married 51 years. I just do not. My body does sometimes, but mentally and emotionally, it's a tough thing to absorb, and it's a blessing, it's a gift. A lot of people don't get to. One of my nieces, the daughter of that husband or that brother I talked about that grew up ahead of me, he passed away about 3 years ago, and his daughter said to me not long ago, the thing is to keep living, Maggie. Mm-hmm. And his parents, he and his wife were married 54 years. Mm-hmm. You are blessed if you get to enjoy a long marriage, and you are glad you are there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's and if you can't laugh, you're not going to be there. Yeah, that's mostly true.
And marriage also includes disagreements. If you don't disagree, one of you is not alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't look at everything the same way.
That's
and more
true.
Importantly, you internalize that. And if you don't deal with it and up front with it, that festers. And so you have to have a real trust relationship to be honest enough to disagree and assert yourself, knowing that will not damage your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a friendship, ultimately. It's
companionship. That's what I was just going to say. Yep. It becomes a friendship, and that's a fact. It's the way it has to go.
Maggie, another beautiful piece. Thank you very much. And it's almost time for us to go, but I want to spend a moment saying goodbye, because this is, as you folks in this room know, my last broadcast here for a while. My wife and I are heading back west for a number of months, and we will be back. But I want you to know, Paul and Maggie and Aladdin, how much of a joy it has been for me to be on this broadcast for much of the summer, and to be on KHOI, to be on Local Talk. I'm a retired broadcaster coming back here in retirement with my wife because we love Ames. We think this is the finest community we've ever lived in. And to be on this radio station with you every Wednesday has been a sheer joy for me. And I say that with as much seriousness as I possibly can. I love working with you guys.
Well, you know, Dennis, when I met you in a production meeting, I thought, an old radio guy like me who actually remembers all kinds of old cars with chrome and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I thought, this really is going to be fun. And it met my expectations completely. And when we have things go wrong, as they often do in broadcasting, it's really great to have a trust level with you, knowing that we're both veterans and have seen tape unravel on the floor.
On the floor.
And all the things that can go wrong in the old industry. And then we have Aladdin here, who's a quick study. And see, Dennis and I used to be able to use the board and records and turntables and cartridge tapes like they were extensions of our body. Now, with this new digital technology, that may as well be the space shuttle over there.
And he's
and Aladdin,
operating it, yes.
Well, Aladdin learned that in record time.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and I'm fairly new to this, very new to this radio thing, but it's been a lot of fun to work with two seasoned guys. And Aladdin, I appreciate how fast you've come on board with what you're doing, because I don't want to do what you're doing over there.
And ladies and gentlemen, Maggie's becoming a personality. I'm scared to death she'll be syndicated and go to New York.
Yeah, he's got a real fear of there.
when you say seasoned, you just mean old. Old radio guys. And we understand that. We take it with a grain of salt.
I was trying to be nice. Yeah.
So we will be back together. If everything goes well, we'll be back here together. I'll be back in May or so. And we'll do this for 6 or 7 months in a row. How's that?
Well, I tell you what, we should have had Auld Lang Syne playing in the background.
Well, this is the last time on this broadcast that I get to say you've been listening to Local Talk. And we've been your hosts, Dennis Hart and you,
Paul Wearson. And today's program was engineered by the irreplaceable Aladdin. Local Talk airs today at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Also, remember that you can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoyfm.org. And you can find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Also, Remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org.
Our theme song, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. And if you don't know who Kate Shelley was, look her up. Great local personality and a heroine. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show, so if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, come on down. We'll train you. And join the Local Talk team.
Stay tuned for headline news and Democracy Now! At 8 a.m. and Morning Masterpieces at 9. And remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and
we'll see you again on the radio someday soon.
KHOI is sponsored in part by Ames Electric Services, providing rebates to customers for upgrading to energy-efficient appliances, lighting, thermostats, and air conditioners. Smart energy rebates help you decrease your power needs, which can lower your electric bills. Learn more from www.cityofames.org/smartenergy.
You're listening to KHOI 89.1 FM, Story City and Ames.
Support for KHOI is provided in part by the Iowa State Center, presenting Kenny G, November 28th at 8 p.m. Tickets and more information can be found at center.iastate.edu. That's center.iastate.edu.